This podcast is brought to you by AvWeb.com, world's premier independent aviation news resource.
Hello, everyone. This is Paul Bertarelli reporting for AvWeb. Today is October 9th, 2018. Over the weekend, we reported a major story that the FAA was about to release an NPRM raising the weight limit for light sport aircraft to 3,600 pounds. Well, that's not quite exactly accurate, but it's directionally, it's probably correct. So today, to get this clarified, we're talking to Sean Elliott, who is EAA's Vice President for Advocacy and Safety. And before we get into those specifics, Sean, I'd like to discuss MOSAIC, which is a modernization of special airworthiness certificates. This is an FAA program that's basically meant to take a look at the longstanding certification programs and procedures and modernize and streamline them. And I know EAA has been involved in that. Give us a little overview and then we'll go into the light sport discussion.
Well, absolutely, Paul. Thanks for having us on today. We're obviously very excited. This is a strategic initiative from EAA's perspective that's been supported all the way from our board on down. We've been working on this now for nearly 2 years. It started with some very early informal conversations, and it's developed into a framework for potential for rulemaking that we anticipate and are hopeful to see actually become a rulemaking initiative within the FAA here sometime early in 2019. As you know, that's a couple of year process to complete a rulemaking package, have it go through all of the mechanisms that it goes through, and then comes out as an NPRM. So we're obviously a few years away from the actual NPRM, but it's moving forward, and we've had good success with both the dialogue and the level of support within the FAA to explore these things. Together, not only us, but other organizations as well have been talking to FAA about this.
Now, a lot of pilots in general aviation, particularly in our readership, have learned to love hating drones and UAS systems. But in fact, this is with MOSAIC, UAS is driving this to a certain degree in a positive way. Is that correct?
Well, it's the vehicle, if you will. As most folks know that are close into the regulatory process, right now, all rulemaking priority, and it's a big stack. The FAA is backlogged in rulemaking significantly. And right now, all of the rulemaking priority is going towards UAS aspects. There is a significant component of this that involves UAS needs. And it just so happened that it made complete sense to look at the experimental side, i.e. MOSAIC, right along hand in hand with those needs to accomplish both at the same time, because it's much of the same work. So it was just a stars aligned, good opportunity kind of thing that got us to this place that, again, hopefully we'll be able to see this as an actual rulemaking package here reasonably soon.
Is it fair to say that the resources being devoted to EAA are kind of spilling over into this project?
Oh, from EAA's perspective, as I said before, Paul, it's a strategic initiative. So we are putting a lot of time into this. This is our number one priority. From a government advocacy standpoint right now, I'm in D.C. on a regular basis. My staff, I've got a staff member in D.C. this week. So while we are not D.C. based, we are in D.C. and commuting back and forth. I joke with the other association staffers that my commute from Milwaukee in an hour and 50-minute flight on Southwest is shorter than their drive.
Sure is.
we're there a lot right now.
Let's talk about the proposal that we wrote about over the weekend. We gave the impression, I think incorrectly, that this was going to be an NPRM sometime after the first of the year, but that scheduling is a little rubbery. That's probably not quite correct. We also said it would be 3,600 pounds, but that's kind of a starting place. So fill in those details.
Yeah, absolutely, Paul. The intent was to have the statement that we'll begin the rulemaking process in early 2019. Which the end result is then an NPRM, but that's not going to happen, as I said, for some time. We've been doing as much work as we can, along with other organizations that have been interacting with aircraft certification and the other components within FAA that own this, to provide them some framework and feedback on what makes the most sense. And I've been really pleasantly surprised and happy with where, when we come to the table, how closely our thinking is, and it's not light years apart. We've got good people within the FAA that are really interested in seeing this be impactful and help general aviation into the future. And as we compare notes and look at what makes sense, it really is about developing that risk continuum, that continuum all the way from the entry level of general aviation, from 103 and home building and so forth, the lowest point on the risk continuum, all the way up to part 23 and part 25, where you've got commercial obligations and flight for hire and those types of activities that define a different level of safety enhancement and oversight from the FAA standpoint. So we're trying to get that right. And the 3,600 pounds, it's a notional point that we've gone in with. It seemingly makes sense on that continuum. What comes out the other side as far as weight was yet to be seen. And there's a lot of work between now and then to be done to get to that final point. But essentially, it's a good news story of the FAA and industry is very interested together in achieving meaningful reform with a meaningful change, whether that be performance-based metrics, whether that be an increase in weight, to a larger airframe that can fill that void in that continuum at the appropriate level of oversight that LSA provides.
And I think in interpreting this story, we kind of got a little hung up on some of the LSA restrictions, which are a couple of seats, a speed limit, and other limitations. But that wouldn't necessarily be the case for this new proposal, if I understand you correctly, so that it's almost as though everything is on the table at this point.
It is, Paul. And I mean, it's going to be reasonable. I certainly suspect you'll see an increase in the number of seats, although we don't know that for sure. What comes out of the other end of the rulemaking process will certainly give us those indications. But to fit what we're talking about as far as improvements and helping general aviation, it just makes sense to increase appropriately those limitations for those kinds of operations and the risks that they face.
A few years ago, I remember having a discussion at the time a proposal was kind of being floated around that was a 3,600-pound standard for new manufacture that would allow any aircraft manufacturer to use the ASTM consensus standard. So this sounds like it's kind of a version of that. Is that correct?
It is. It very much so is. And the ASTM standards process and level of oversight from the FAA on those manufacturers is what we believe at EAA makes sense for these kinds of aircraft. We're obviously advocating for that. What is the final number or final set of performance values or metrics remains to be seen, but we think that makes sense.
Is there interest in applying this to legacy airplanes? So we're talking about new manufacturer here. That makes sense, and that's certainly a controllable thing. But would we consider applying these higher weights to legacy airplanes as well?
Well, we certainly have been a proponent. Look, we were directly involved with the development of the primary non-commercial category recommendation that came out of the Part 23 ARC. What we've got right now in the form of Mosaic is a component of Mosaic that will address the legacy fleet and hopefully enable the legacy fleet to have an appropriate level of requirements and, most importantly, the ability to, in a much easier fashion, incorporate safety-enhancing equipment, much like we've done with our STC programs.
Yeah, we're sort of already there. I mean, we've just in the past 2 years, we've greatly streamlined the ability to put in non-TSO avionics into certified airplanes. So it sounds like this is an expansion of that, or could be.
Absolutely. And look, we've already got solid metrics that show that it's working. Our safety numbers from the GAJSC are showing that general aviation overall is continuing to show improvements in safety. The fatal accident rate across the board is improving. So, you know, we've gotten good accomplishments made, but there's a lot more work to be done, and we hope this is the vehicle to do it.
What do you think is going to happen to the primary non-commercial concept? Is it going to be morphed into this, or will it be something that's tweaked in Part 23?
I think there will be components that are key components of that that will become part of Mosaic. It's still out there as a recommendation for Part 23, so who knows what the future holds from that aspect. But if we can at least achieve some meaningful reform for personal use general aviation aircraft that allows us to do those things that I just explained, we will have accomplished a lot.
Well, it seems to me if you have a higher seat restriction. You go to four seats or six or whatever it is in a higher weight, and it's the approvals for new manufacturing are done under the ASTM consensus standard, you've almost achieved the concept of primary non-commercial, haven't you?
Close. I mean, again, the devil's in the details, and a lot of those are yet to be determined. But yes, that certainly is an accurate statement the way you framed that out, Paul.
How about owner performed maintenance on any of this? For example, the way we can do it on experimental aircraft and to a certain extent on light sport airplanes. Will that be part of this proposal, and what's that likely to look like?
Well, that's something that has been discussed, but is by no means been fleshed out yet. Whether or not that's incorporated, we've made obviously we've advocated that, look, that Canada's got a model that has certainly proven itself to be a value, but we haven't gotten any further down the path on the AI. We just don't know if that's going to wind up being a component or not.
Has the FAA looked in detail at the Canadian model? Because it apparently is quite successful.
Yeah, they have, and they're continuing to do so.
Now, if we look at this, it seems to me, and you had mentioned earlier, that this is, although not solely aimed at the training market, it certainly is aimed at stimulating them.
Well, absolutely. I mean, a big part of this for EAA is to help find pathways forward for new aircraft that can fill the gaps or fill those voids on the mom-and-pop flight training organizations around the country. I mean, right now, you see most of these organizations operating 40- and 50-year-old airframes, and it shows. It, you know, for the unwashed citizen who shows up at a flight school excited about getting involved with aviation, for some, it's a very quick turnoff from a number of aspects, you know, instructor turnover and the flight training experience, but also the aircraft itself and the quality. So if we can find a path forward for, you know, a new fleet or a new type of LSA level flight training aircraft that have meaningful performance values, that could be a big win, because right now it's, you know, to get a new airplane from Part 23, it's $500,000. And that is never going to solve our flight training issues in this country. We've got to find a lower cost pathway to get new flight training aircraft out on the ramp.
How interested are the legacy manufacturers?
I don't know. We haven't spoken at length with the legacy manufacturers, Paul, but I will tell you what we've experienced with the STC process. Initially, there was a fair amount of negativity about it. There was the naysayers and the spear pointers about how this is going to be damaging, and they put all of their efforts into their project, their product, et cetera, et cetera. And that very quickly morphed over a relatively short period of time into the manufacturers saying, we can do this too. Let's go ahead and follow this path, and let's come up with our own level or our own set of STCs and products with this new this initiative. So I'm certainly hopeful and feel strongly that this could create the same opportunities along these lines for those larger manufacturers that have existed in Part 23 all this time. We're actually talking with Gamma. You know, they're actually coming out here in a few weeks. To make sure that as we talk about the continuum and how all these pieces align, that they've got feedback and input as well, so that we get it right. And we have that nice smooth curve all the way from one end of the spectrum to the other.
Okay, so as I said, it's October 2018. What should we look for next year on this?
At this point, we will be thrilled to announce that this has gone into official ex parte rulemaking, which means the FAA has closed their doors. They've taken all the feedback and input that they can, and now they're, as a team, a rulemaking team, will work diligently to develop an entire rulemaking package that comes out the other end as an NPRM. By law, by the way ex parte works, they cannot interact or speak with anybody in industry at that point. It's meant to keep the process fair and unbiased. So our work will be at a temporary standstill until that process completes, and then we will re-engage and provide feedback and tweak and through the NPRM process at that point.
So we really shouldn't expect a true NPRM before 2019.
Before
2020, I should say.
That's correct. 2020 is, and look, the way rulemaking works, that's a wag. We'll just do our best to follow it along. have the touch points that we have at EAA on a regular basis between AirVenture and our winter summit. And, you know, to the extent they can, they'll share with us how progress is coming. And we'll keep our members and the GA community posted to the greatest extent we can.
Okay, I'm making a note on my calendar in 2020. We'll probably get back to you then, or if not before then, to find out how this is proceeding.
You and my boss, Jack Pelton, both have it on their calendars.
Thanks for speaking with us, Sean.
You bet, Paul. Thank you. Thanks for the interest.
We've been speaking with Sean Elliott, EAA's Vice President of Advocacy and Safety. This is Paul Bertarelli reporting for AvWeb. Thanks for listening.
This podcast is brought to you by AvWeb.com, world's premier independent aviation news resource.